Hi, welcome to the Humans of AISU podcast. I am with a grade 11 student.
Yes, I am a grade 11 student here at the AISG. I'm not allowed to say my name, but...
For anonymity purposes and child protection, but here we are. So how was your day today?
My day's been pretty good so far. I've had two pretty good classes, I would say. And okay. I don't know. Looking forward to the rest of the day.
Okay, so just kind of jumping right into this, what would you say is your favorite subject? Not in school currently, but more so just in general.
I would say my favorite subject, just in general as well, is history, mm-hmm. even though we have it as an in-school option, just because of how much I love to, like, I'm kind of a nerd, so I kind of like to explore, like, past options, and history really gives you this mm-hmm. option to choose what you're interested in. Like, we get to choose our own IA topic. Yeah. For those of you who got to choose an EE topic, I wasn't one of them.
Not you, unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. But... yeah, I would say school gives us a lot of opportunities with our history class, and I just find it really interesting.
So what's something in that subject that, like, really, really interests you? Like, something specific? Is there something in history that you're like, wow?
I would say we're covering a lot of World War II right now.
Yeah.
I would say that's really interesting to me. I know it's a kind of like a basic statement to make, mm-hmm. but I've had, like, personal family ties with World War II, so it's mm-hmm. kind of cool to see how they all... intertwine.
I feel like everyone kind of has at least something that dates back to World War II, because I know I do as well.
That's very true. I mean, it's kind of like when he was... Can I say his name?
No one's going to know who he is, and also he's an adult.
That's true. Okay, so when Mr. Ackers was talking about, like, the flying of the B-29s, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I have a photo of my great-grandfather in one of those. And I was like, oh, it's kind of cool how it kind of relates to me.
Yeah.
It's nerdy, I know. But overall, I just like how history, you know, you get to choose something that you're passionate about, and you get to, like, go into depth as much as you want, whereas other classes, they're good, but, you know, it's kind of more of a set curriculum.
Yeah, I know for a fact that my great-grandfather was in the Battle of Passchendaele.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool? I wouldn't say cool, because I think it's kind of traumatized,
dude. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But
so we are friends outside of this random podcast, and I know for a fact that you find the Russian Baltic Fleet absolutely hilarious. Would you care to explain it to the rest of us?
How much time do we have on this podcast?
As long as you want.
As long as we want. Okay, well, apologies to those listening, but the Russian Baltic Fleet was basically... Again, the Russian Baltic Fleet was basically, like, just the absolute epitome of, like, everything that could go wrong, possibly, in a military expenditure that, like, could go wrong, went wrong. It consisted of this, like, Russian fleet who, if you know your geography, was based around Denmark, who wanted to fight in the Sino-Japanese War, or the Japanese, like, the Russian-Japanese War.
Yeah.
Which is in Japan.
Yeah.
So, naturally, they took the most logical course of going from Russia, around the coast of Europe, around the coast of Africa, all the way to Japan, which took them, I think, more than, like, 6 months?
I think it took them over a year.
Over a year. Where they went along, a bunch of people died because they had, like, coal just, like, everywhere, so it was, like, worse than a mine. They picked up giraffes and stuff from, like, Africa. It's a very interesting topic.
I heard that they, like, would randomly think that the Japanese would come in to attack them, but then, like, shoot at random boats that had nothing to do with that.
Off the coast of the English Channel. You know, Japan's most notorious stronghold, they were shooting fishing boats because everyone knows that a fishing boat off of the coast of Scotland is identical to a Japanese warship.
Exactly.
Yeah, that didn't cause any incidents. And then when they finally got to Russia, mm-hmm. They were all hyped up. When they got to Japan, they were all hyped up and they lost almost immediately because of a terrible deceptive ploy where they basically let a Japanese ship walk straight up to them and then died. So I would say, overall, 10 out of 10. Great adventure.
I'm also a history nerd, as we obviously can clearly tell because I'm butting in. But one of my favorite parts of history is that, which isn't really taught, and when World War II, when Germany, you'd, like, see them do really weird maneuvers. So you're like, this was stupid, why'd they do that? And then I actually found out that that was because they were getting false intelligence by a guy who wasn't even a real spy. He just hated Germany so much that he was like, because he went to the British and he was like, I want to be a spy for you because I just don't like nationalism, I don't like socialism. And they said, lol, no, why would I do that? And then he was like, well, screw you then, I'm gonna be a spy. And so he pretended to be, he went to Lisbon because he was from Spain, and got a diplomatic passport by just telling them he was a diplomat, and they gave it to him. And then he basically wrote Germany a letter saying, I want to be a spy. I'm a diplomat who is going to London. And they believed him. And they were like, they gave him the money to go to London, all that. He never actually went to London. He was in Lisbon the entire time, was reading newspapers and books about what it was like to live in Britain. And so it'd be like, oh, there was this event that happened in, like, Glasgow. And then he'd be like, this happened in Glasgow. And then they'd read the paper and be like, this guy's legit.
Jesus Christ.
And this guy single-handedly trolled the Germans, but they also relied on him so much that he got the Iron Cross from Germany. And single-handedly, like, I say he got the Iron Cross from Germany and then also got the hot, because eventually he went to the American base and was like, yo, guys, I've been trolling the Germans and making them chase their tails a bunch of times, and told them I was living in London with a bunch of, like, with a network of spies, even though I was just a random dude in Lisbon. And they were like, this is amazing. And then they actually set him up in London and in the office, and the Germans were sending over, like, letters and all this other stuff, and, like, he gave him false intelligence, and they were like, oh, my God, what happened? And it's like, oh, my God, one of my spies died. They made an obituary in the newspaper, and they literally sent a pension to this guy's widow, even though this wasn't a real person.
That's wild.
And then he also got the highest, like, military honor for the British as well. So he single-handedly got the highest honor on both sides of the war.
That's actually crazy.
They relied on him so much that, like, that it was so funny. And then when the war was over, he was like, I guess I'm done here. And then, like, moved to Venezuela and owned a bookstore for the rest of his life. That was it. That was literally it. And the whole reason he started hating nationalism was because of the fact that, like, a bunch of Republicans, during the Spanish Civil War, a bunch of Republicans, like, basically took his farm. And he was like, I hate the Republicans. So he joined the Republican army, then was, like, one of those, I guess, like, linemen that would, like, bring the lines across the battlefield, went over, surrendered, and said, I want to join you guys. And then realized that he didn't like them either. And then realized that fascism was also bad. And so he just hated everybody. Single-handedly won the war. He actually saved a lot of people. So we all know the Battle of Normandy, right? He told Germany that there was something that was going on a completely different beach in France, and they were just there. And it was so many of them. He told them that it was going to be a bigger invasion, that all they did was that they had blow-up tanks that, like, a magician made and brought, like, 10 men with them. And then all these people were stationed on that beach and just sitting there for 2 months.
Yeah.
Even though there was a completely different battle going on, even though nothing was happening.
And I'm pretty sure that worked with the government, because I'm pretty sure you're talking about, like, Calais.
I think it was.
I don't know how to French, but it's the closest point to the English Channel. And that's where they built a bunch of, like, rubber dummies and dropped a bunch of tin foil. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we're coming here. Yeah, because of the Spanish guy with the Iron Cross, you know, I'd like to believe that wouldn't have happened.
His Garbo, I think it was. Have you heard of him?
Garbo?
Garbo. Juan Garcia, yeah.
Juan Puyol Garcia. Puyol, like the...
Single-handedly, I think he's an absolute icon, and he deserves to be put in history books, because I hate when it's like, huh, why did Germany do that really stupid thing?
Exactly.
And it's like, he was the main cause of it.
That's actually really interesting. I never knew about that. See, this is why history is such a good subject, because you get to go so in-depth on, like, funny things that, like... I mean, you could always say, like, if we don't learn from those who don't learn from their past are doomed to repeat it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, at the same time, I feel like the best thing about history is that, like, I think we need to stop giving power to these, like, super, like, evil human beings and start calling them idiots, because that's exactly what they are. Yes. And I think that when you go and learn history, you start learning about all the stupid stuff they did, and you're like, this guy's dumb. This guy's really, really dumb.
Glorified for no reason.
This guy, I like to, like, honestly, people were, like, talk about how, like, obviously Hitler did, like, terrible, terrible things, but he's dumb.
He did?
Yeah, he did. Of course he did. He's dumb, and I love to call him dumb, like, ugly mustache man, because, like, why am I giving him all this power and glory?
Exactly. It's, like...
He's dumb.
And then when you, it's kind of funny, because then you get to look at things in a new perspective and just absolutely nerd on people who, like, haven't looked at it, and you're like, ah, yes.
Actually, I know that for a fact.
Exactly. You can be that guy.
You can be that guy.
which I can smoothly transition into the fact that Quiz Bowl, an ASA that I captain, is going to a History Bowl thing in Shenzhen.
Really?
Which qualifies us, if we compete and do well, which we better, qualifies us for like regional tournaments and then tournaments in Bangkok. So let's
That's
go.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Okay, so I mean, you've unprovoked told me about Quiz Bowl, even though I never asked. But for the people that are listening to this, what is Quiz Bowl?
That's a very good question. I would say that Quiz Bowl is, like, it's an ASA, obviously. Sorry, not obviously for those of you who don't know. But it's an after-school activity that it's basically a bunch of people, nerds, answering, like, trivia questions, but it's like a lot of people will be like, oh, that's so weird. Why do you do that? But I've had people who like have hated on the idea before joining, like, okay, this is actually pretty fun because you get to laugh about like the dumbest things and have like the dumbest inside jokes. And it's not like a super competitive thing. Like MUN, don't get me wrong, I love MUN, but it can be like competitive and harsh at times. Whereas Quiz Bowl is just like you show up for some laughs and you get to go to tournaments, meet really cool people. Yeah, I would say like last practice, it ended up in a rant about, like, Taylor Swift for, like, 20 minutes on a question unprompted about, like, Hitler. I don't know how we got there, but it was a pretty wild ride. And that's just, like, something that, you know, just we do for fun.
How do you get from Hitler to Taylor Swift?
Okay, so I think what happened was somebody guessed, like, Thatcher instead of Hitler, right? Yeah. And then I think somebody else, so, like, thought that Thatcher was like an artist, British like rock artist. So then somehow that transitioned to Taylor Swift, and that brought the whole you know, she's overrated. How dare you say that? Blah, 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 blah. And yeah.
For anyone wondering, Thatcher is
the British prime minister.
One of the British prime ministers
who, you know, a lot of people don't like. But in order to not get this show canceled after the first appearance, I'm gonna just say that she existed.
She existed.
She was a prime minister at one point.
She was. And we're not going to say anything else.
Anyways. Yeah, and then Mr. Holohawk, our coordinator, was just sitting there like, I feel uncomfortable now. Like, I felt so bad for him.
Okay, what are some things, like, random facts that you've learned in Quiz Bowl that you're like, what?
Don't put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
So, one thing I learned about, which surprised me a lot, is how, you know how in Europe, European history, it'll be like some random middle-aged year, and then, like, somebody's cousin wanted to marry somebody's cousin. They said no, and they go to war, and they have all these, like, intricate names and details and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why am I learning this, right? Yeah. Whereas in Chinese history, some dude claimed that he was Jesus. 20 million people died of a famine, and then, like, that's it. Like, it's just all you know about it. There's more to it, but, like, an event like that just goes undershadowed just because somebody's cousin was, like, unwilling to marry with them or something in Europe. And
so
it's like,
he claimed he was Jesus.
He claimed he was Jesus, yes.
And then people died.
I think he started a war in which 20 million people starved.
How do you start a war from claiming you're Jesus?
That's a good question. Let me, hold on. I'm gonna fact check this because it happened a while ago. Mm-hmm. Chinese man Jesus, okay. Hong Jiquan. Yes. Chinese revolutionary who led the Taiping Rebellion in which 20 million people starved. Yeah, because he claimed he was like the reincarnation of Jesus. And then they were like, nuh-uh.
No.
So, yeah, declared himself a heavenly king and actually marched on Nanjing. So, yeah, it's just kind of funny how like different parts of history are so interesting that they get so ignored.
Circling back to that.
Back to history. Oh, sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. I feel like your interests in history are so different to mine, and I find that really funny.
Why? What's yours?
No, because, like, you go for, like, the cool tech and, like, all this other fun and all this the weird stuff, and then I'm just, like, horrific bad things.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the two can go hand in hand, right?
I mean, the two can go hand in hand, but it's just, like, you seem to focus on, like, why, and I can seem to focus on, like,
What? Yeah, I mean, that's. Oh man, I'm lobbying for history so much now, but it's just like, yeah, you can focus on horrible atrocities, or you can focus on like bombs, which I guess is also
horrible. Yeah. Atrocity.
But then you kind of pull a Truman, and you're like, yeah, well, I'm not. I didn't see the bomb go off, so like.
conclusion happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in history, and we were doing IA research, which we all know what my... I mean, you know what my IA topic is. And for anyone that's slightly squeamish, maybe don't listen to this part. It's not going to get, like, too bad, but, like, I would do a little bit of describing. But my IA topic is Japanese human experimentation, World War II, which, if you're somebody that doesn't like anything gross and squeamish and gory, that is exactly what you should not look into. Yeah. But, however... Mm-hmm. I'm me, and I do that. But I was going, he was like, oh, let's get primary sources. So pictures, right? Oh, just, great. I'm about to go down a horrible rabbit hole.
Just like.
And I went through things, and I was like, I can't see most of it because it's like terrible pictures because back then photos are like trash. And then all of a sudden, I see the most in detail, clear picture of just a dead person with more to it, but I'm not gonna explain.
Well, yeah, we're gonna leave that. We're gonna get struck down. Someone's gonna listen to us be like,
we're gonna get censored. We're gonna
have middle schoolers listening to this wanting to join history.
We're never gonna be able to talk about this ever again. But, and I was like, huh. And I just kind of sat there looking at it for a minute and then went, I think I should close my laptop.
Mm. Put it on the front page of your IB paper just to like really scare the intimidated and be like, yeah, you want to read my paper? You want to read my paper? You better give me some.
I think that the moderators, especially since I'm also doing a history EE, the moderators are going to go through pretty like normal kind of like about certain wars and like more like economic issues and then like tech advancements. And then they're going to come to me and their day's going to be ruined.
Which is, I think, you chose kind of a good thing. You chose something that's a little more abstract. I went like the basic route because I was... You know, I was very behind on my IA work, which is, like, the effect that submarines had on shipping lines in World War One.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you wanting to do a history IA, I don't recommend... Well, I haven't done mine yet, but I don't recommend that you choose, like, World War One or World War Two topics because examiners know a lot about them.
And they tend to, like, strike you down on stuff that's, like, it's been, like, over-explained. Yeah. And it's harder to get a better grade on stuff that has more information on it because of the fact they're expecting really high level from you if there's already thousands upon thousands of documents recording that stuff. So
choose, like, the effect that one dude had on the Nigerian Civil War and how it affected the economy, and you'll get a 7 because nobody's going to bother to do their research.
Exactly. Or you just choose, like, or if you're going to do, like, a really, or like, broad type of a really, like, well-documented, you need to figure out how to make it kind of original in a sense.
Mm.
Because, like, I think I did slavery, but I made it more original in a sense that I connected it to something more of a modern issue, which people don't tend to look at a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely, hopefully, will help my case.
Yeah, I'm gonna restructure my IA question. I just need to figure out
other basic things first.
I know, man. Hey, I'm gonna rely on my other history grades to carry me through this. Okay, it's not like the IA is worth 25% of my grade.
Sure. Yeah,
actually, I'm HL, so I think it's worth like.
I think 20. It's worth less.
Still.
But still, I'd like to get at least a 7 on that.
Yeah, at least
it's probably impossible, but like.
At least you can't get higher than a 7. What? Wow, high standards.
People. I'd like to get at least a 6 on it, because then I'd feel better about myself.
So
there might be a few people who are listening that are like, oh, what should I take in IB? I've seen history on the course selection.
Are we scaring them away?
I think we should be honest with them at least.
It's not that bad. Okay. If you really enjoy history.
I think you'll be fine. However, like I do. However, the workload is insane. I think the workload's
I'm a terrible procrastinator because I'm an HL bio and chem, and I hate doing that, but I have no problem writing like 2 hours of history notes on the Falklands
War. I don't mind, but it's more so content heavy and time consuming, and sometimes you're learning so much content for the off chance that it comes up in an exam.
That's true. At least with bio, you know that
you're gonna have it, like something's gonna come up with it. And same with, like, some of the other subjects, like math and, like, English and stuff. You know for a fact that, like, math, like, you know for a fact that what you're learning is going to come up in eventually. But, like, history is kind of like, here, learn all this content for 2 years, but you might not use 90% of it.
You're right.
You might only use 10% of it.
Well, I mean, we have quarterly exams and semester exams.
Yeah,
and
but at the same time, like, for the finals, like, it's just, like, the off chance that something might come up. And paper one isn't even anything, like, you don't need... You could probably do it not being a history student because it's just source analysis.
That's true. Except for part D.
That's true.
Which we haven't done yet.
Which we haven't done yet. But that's anyone that's looking to take history, I think it's a great I think it's a great option for people who, like, love learning about just... And also people who have decent enough memory and analysis skills, because that also comes into play. You're not just, like, reciting information that you've learned. You also have to evaluate it and analyze.
OPCVLs.
Don't we love that? But
bane of my existence.
If you're really interested in that, I think we really recommend you to do it. Just be, like, heavy... Like, just be mindful that you're probably... that like, if anyone that asks you... Oh, what are you doing right now? You're going to be doing history homework.
That's true. But it's a lot of, like, note-taking. So you can... A lot of it is, like...
If you have terrible note-taking, then I don't recommend doing
it. I just bullet points. Like,
well, bullet points are fine, but I know some people that just, like...
I know some people who will be out here writing, like, 8 paper essays on notes. You don't need to do that. You just need to notice, like, some specific facts.
Things.
And then if you memorize a date, your teacher will really like you, and you'll get off easier. Not that I've ever done that.
So for also expectations, papers, because I know some people want to know what their papers are if you're going into courses, because I know a lot of teachers don't really talk about what your papers are until you've literally gotten into the course and you're about 3 weeks in and you can't change it.
That's true. We haven't done our paper 3 yet.
But that's for HL students. So paper 1 is like sources. So majority of it is, except for I think question 4, is all source analysis. So it's more so like, what is the source trying to convey? Or like, compare and contrast these two sources about this certain topic. So you don't really need historical knowledge for that. However, you do need analysis skills, because you are analyzing.
That's probably the hardest part of history.
That's probably the hardest part. And then paper 2 is an argumentative essay. And paper 2, while we're only doing 1 at the time being, it's actually 2. We're writing 2.
Actually?
For the final, yeah, we're writing 2. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
We're writing 2 for the final. It's just extended time.
Can we cut that and say that I knew that so Mr. Ackers doesn't watch this and is like, oh my god, this guy.
Yeah, sorry. So we're writing we're writing for paper 2. You write 2 argumentative essays. They're not like super long or anything. They're just like, it's a lot of writing because it's all handwritten. And I think it's like you get like 4 options and you choose 2 of them to write about.
Yeah.
But you get kind of like 45 minutes to write each but one of them. So you got to learn how to write fast.
That's true.
And then I know for HL students, paper 3 is basically the same exact thing as paper 2, but you're doing 3.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah, because Richie had to do like 6 papers in like 4 hours.
6. Honestly, if you also have terrible handwriting, don't take the subject because it contains a lot of writing.
Well, I have terrible handwriting.
Yeah, but at the same time, they will literally take marks off because they can't read anything.
Yeah, but that's like Mr. Cannon. Mr. Ackers doesn't really care.
The IB examiners care.
That's true.
The IB moderators care. Right.
I'll do good handwriting for the first like 3 papers, but afterwards I'm just like,
it's
good
just
luck.
Scribbles. It's just scribbles. You can tell when you like when I go through like feedback on like my papers, you can see the progression of like insanity. My hand getting tired because it's like nice, pretty handwriting, like the first 2 paragraphs, and at the end it's just like
scrawl.
I sometimes will have to go back at the end, like when I'm like looking over my paper, and cross out words and rewrite them so they look nicer.
I would say, okay, counterpoint to this history shambles. Every IV subject, not to scare you away, is like difficult. Like bio is difficult, chem is difficult.
ESS
is not difficult at all. Sorry, ESS teachers out there, if you want to go measure a tree. Yeah.
Yeah, we want measuring trees, but...
You know, I'm like dying in bio. But yeah, history is, it's like a lot of reading, it's a lot of analyzation, but it's not a lot of like super heavy duty memorization, like not like bio.
Yeah, I think the most I struggle with is remembering dates more so than events. I can remember like really specific details about events, like how many aircrafts I brought to a certain war, or you know, what the name of all the generals and the captains and all that, but I cannot tell you what year it happened in.
Same. Midway? What?
Midway.
I didn't even write it because I was like, I was too scared to write it and get it wrong. He's like, yeah, that's fair.
I knew a lot about Midway. Actually, I think I put it in my first like formative one.
Same.
And he was like, wow, you're so cool. You know about Midway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. You're getting all the credit.
For anyone that doesn't know what Midway, because we're all history nerds, and I'm going to explain to you what Midway is. Basically, the U.S. obliterated.
Let's be nice here. It was a hard fought victory.
It was like 5 minutes.
It was.
I think they like lost, like, one ship, I think it was.
Yeah, but the carrier was already destroyed.
But everything was ablaze. Dude, in, they like, took that ship,
which came from the other, like, the Coral Sea one, I mm-hmm. think, which is another one where they did yeah. it.
Was that the,
took it back.
USS Lexington or something?
Yeah, they're like, okay, it's going to take 2 weeks to repair. Like, no, it's going to take 72 hours. I'm like, okay, fine. So they took the 72 hours to repair this, like, almost sunken ship, sent it back out, and then it got sunk again. But, like, it did its purpose. So
It did what it had to do. Anyways, is there anything else you would like to say before we finish up?
Oh, yeah, because class is going to start soon. I would say, overall, join history. Join Quiz Bowl, because Quiz Bowl, we've been advertising the history side of it, is more than just history, okay? You have science, literature is boo.
Okay.
But if you like literature,
pop
join.
Pop culture is that you don't
trash.
Like it.
Yep, we call it trash. But it's still fun when it shows up every once in a while, and it's like, we got one last fact is, for 10 points, name this current Queen of England. We're like, yes, the current Queen of England. It's his, yeah, King Charles.
King Charles.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, just join. We're kind of struggling for people right now, but if you want to, like, have fun and not get super stressed out by all those competitive ASAs and still want to put something good on your college transcript, join Quiz.
All right, anyways, thank you so much for this, and we're going to be signing off now. Bye.
Bye.